In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ah, good, you are awake. You know, it's Sunday morning. And if you're at all like me, you may like a soft start to the week. You know what I mean by that? Soft start to the week? Well, I'll give you an example. When you wake up, it's a quiet house. Maybe you turn on a little bit of gentle, soothing music to welcome you to your first cup of coffee or tea, whatever it is you drink. Easy and soft conversation, not too taxing. Unhurried shower with awesome warm water. Everything you need to get ready for church is right there, laid out, and not one hitch. No issues. Now, if you have children, depending on their age, this may be a fantasy for the here and now. Fair enough. So you get a joyful and rewarding alternative. Here we go. Let's keep the soft voices. It can happen. I've seen it. Some of them had laryngitis at the time, but it can happen. There are no arguments at all about who gets the bathroom first. There are no issues over socks and shoes and pieces of clothing that have gone missing to possibly make this Sunday morning tense when you are trying to do all that you can to keep your eye on the clock and to get somewhere on time. Fair? All right. So we're both covered. Then you get to church, and the music starts, and the readings are read, and Father Chase comes on up here, and he says, "Hey, everyone, God has really been speaking to me. Things in our parish are about to get really rough. Police are going to be barging in here during Eucharist a couple of times over the next couple of months. A lot of the homes that you see around here, they're going to be vandalized, and some might even be burned. You will no doubt be witnesses to innocent people being hurt, and maybe some even killed. This church, this beautiful place that we worship, is going to get destroyed. And not even the walls will remain. Nothing of our church home will remain standing. It'll all be gone. But don't worry. God has it all in hand. We're going to be just fine. So God bless you. Have a holy and blessed Sunday." And then we go on with the service. But imagine coming into church and hearing those words. Well, you kind of just did. Doesn't sound at all good, though, I guess. It's kind of like the readings we just heard today. Well, at least the Old Testament and the Gospel readings. I mean, these passages from Malachi and the passage in Luke, which, by the way, echoes exactly what is told in Mark and in Matthew, right? Doesn't sound like really good news. And just in case you've forgotten, gospel means good news. Anyway, so what is all this saying to us? What is it telling us? What is it telling us for today? I'm going to focus on the gospel. I'm going to borrow liberally from Matthew and Mark, and we're just going to talk about what it is Jesus was saying, what it says to us. Let me start at the very end of the reading. Jesus says, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives." Have you ever been hated for the sake of Jesus Christ? In the place where you work or your dealings around town or just living out your life, have you ever felt that somebody has treated you differently because of your faith in Christ? It's not common for us in America to have to suffer much for our faith, but I know people who have. I know people who have been fired from their jobs. I know people who have been told to shut up about their faith when all they're doing is talking about it at lunch. All of this has happened by no fault of their own except their relationship that they have with Christ. But I would have to deny the truth to tell you somehow that was okay. At least we know those people who we might call enemies, we know who we have to be praying for because we're told to pray for our enemies. I've read it in the Gospels. Maybe you've heard it before. The next thing that Jesus says is he says this, "Not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your life. If I just read this, it sounds like Jesus is saying he will save me from the coming troubles. That he's saying something like, hey, listen, I got you covered. But enduring means something else. Enduring means going through. Enduring means slugging it out. It means not giving in. It means standing firm. It means taking a deep breath and bracing yourself. And that really doesn't sound a whole lot like rescue. It means if I'm not going to be rescued, then how in the heck is no hair on my head going to perish? Is Jesus just going to create a big shield, like a big invisible shield is going to go around me? Maybe not physically, but is he going to be there for me? I mean, I sing and I say and I read, he is my shield, he is my rock. By standing firm, though, by enduring, by standing firm, you will gain your life. That's what he said. So, the temple of Herod, that's where they're walking, right? Second temple. It was beautiful. That's what they say. They say that it was the replacement, you know, of Solomon's temple, right? That was a pretty swank thing. And they destroyed that. When Babylon came in, they destroyed that. And so when they made the second temple, the idea was to make it greater and grander than the first temple. It was larger. It had higher towers. When the first temple was consecrated, however, the presence of the Lord Almighty God filled the inner sanctuary. It filled it so much that as that presence spilled out of the Holy of Holies, it covered the entire temple. And the priests and those who were there to worship could not stand in the presence. It was like the biggest incense bomb you've ever seen. Kinda. With all of that and all that Herod did to make the conditions of the second temple more splendid, do you know what it lacked? According to the scriptures, the people of Judea, the Judeans, were still waiting for the presence of God to manifest itself in the second temple. And it was lacking that. And all Judeans were waiting for that presence to return. All of them were waiting for that presence to return. And when ultimately it did, they didn't notice it had come. That's a sad thing, at least as sad as thinking, well, for the disciples, it was kind of hard to imagine the temple being destroyed. I mean, it's been there for generations now. But his prophecy didn't stop there. Christ's prophecy went on to say, so, Jesus, when is this going to happen? What are the signs that it's about to take place? And Jesus explains that there will be people running all around, posing as the Son of Man, telling them that the prophecy is about to be fulfilled. Follow me. Look, it's about to start. I told you. These people will try to tell you misleading things. So Jesus warns them, don't follow them. Because if you follow them, you'll miss the point. You got to stay where you are and endure to the end. Endure this lying. And when you do, you will gain your life. Jesus then tells them that there's going to be all sorts of bad news from all over the world. You're just going to hear it constantly. Any of you have TVs or radios? Sometimes we hear bad news. Sometimes we've been hearing it lately. Sometimes there's a lot of it. Nations and kingdoms will be fighting. There'll be wars. Bloodshed. There'll be chaos. The earth will shake. People will starve and die from fatal epidemics. And many other terrors too. This terror you must endure. Keep your faith in me. That's what Jesus said. I will never leave you and I will never abandon you. You must endure. And as you do, so you will gain your life. And just as the story couldn't get any more scary, Jesus tells them they will be the ones who will be subject to a really bad situation. They're going to be persecuted for things they had never done, just for saying his name or believing in him. They will be delivered up to people of power who will abuse their positions of power, and they'll beat them, and they'll imprison them, and they'll be brought into courts and charged with crimes that they had never done by the people who sit in power, the oligarchs, and the heads of governments, all because of who they follow. Things will get scary. Things will look really dark. And then Jesus goes on to say, this is your time. This is your time. Your opportunity to tell them all about me, the kingdom of God, and the need to repent and turn back to God Almighty. And he goes on to tell them to not try and work out your defense. Don't try and figure out what it is you're going to say in advance. You see, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But I will be with you even unto the end of the age. And I will tell you what to say. And I will give you the wisdom and the words that will just sting their hard hearts, the people who are listening to you, the people to whom you will speak. And they will be amazed. And they'll not be able to stand up to your testimony. Oh, they'll try and lie about it, but they won't be able to. If you go through this, if you can take a deep breath, if you can brace yourself, if you can stand firm, if you don't collapse, say what I'm telling you. Say it to them. You will endure. You will gain your life. And just when it looks like you may have made it through, Jesus adds this one last thing. He says, the people who will betray you, they're going to be your parents. They're going to be your relatives and your friends. They will come to hate you because you follow me. They'll threaten you with death. They may even kill you, but your life is hidden in me. They cannot destroy you because you will pass through that veil, and by enduring, you will gain your life. Eternally. So go back to Malachi. Is it vain to serve God? What good possibly could come from keeping his charge or walking in his way, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death as you follow your Lord, your King, your God? Will you fear evil? That valley is way dark. There will be some shaky things happening. But be of good cheer, our Lord says. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, I have overcome the world. And what good could possibly come from your enduring? Well, I tell you, you will be an example to imitate. You will be an example to imitate. Every parent in here will be an example to imitate for those whom you call your children and those whom you call your friends. And by this, you will gain your life. Got to ask it again. Have you watched the news lately? Could you sense that maybe, oh, wars, tumult. Oh, look, plague. We just came through one, kind of, right? Must be the end. I want to assure you of something. I may have spoken lightly, like, ah, this prophecy ain't nothing. That's not what I'm saying. This prophecy gets fulfilled 40 years later, about. Roughly 40 years later. The temple is destroyed. You can go to Jerusalem and see that it's destroyed. All they got are the walls, outer walls of the city. It's gone. Not one stone stands upon another. And they were persecuted. But those who believed in Christ endured. Want proof? We have this. These are the words of those who endured all the way to the end. And guess what? We, as children of God, know these words, and your children know these words. They didn't go away. They endure, and they do have their life. I'll tell you one last thing. I had a friend in grade school. Some of you will find that amazing. In fifth grade, I had a friend. His name was John. I didn't say his last name this time. I'm afraid that he would find out. He mentioned me on a tape. I'm going to come get him. John was my very dear friend, and we used to do all sorts of things together. We both loved science fiction TV shows. We both loved, oh, don't anyone hate me, Lost in Space and Star Trek. We did. And we made, like, models together, and we goofed off, and we did just goofy things because that's what kids do. I know. I've read about it in books. And so one day he came in, and on my bed, there was a comic book. I know you'll find it amazing that I read comic books, but just to put me in the clear, my mom bought this comic book for me. Anyways, it was a science fiction one. It was Amazing Stories or something. And it had this robot coming out of this machine, and he was proclaiming that he was from the fourth dimension. And John told me, dude, he didn't say dude. We didn't say dude those days. Buddy, you got to burn that. I'm like, what are you talking about? I haven't even read it yet. He goes, don't read it. It's demonic. I'm like, it's a robot. That doesn't look like what I think a demon looks like. He goes, no. He's talking about the fourth dimension. We heard this last Sunday in the preaching. And you need to burn that, because before the end of this year, 1971, the world is coming to an end. Okay, thank you. You chuckle now, but I was 11. And the depth of my education in faith wasn't very deep. And my father, never mind. He said, here's what John said. You got to burn that. And here's the problem, buddy. You don't go to my church. If you went to my church, you would be exempt from the end of the world. John went to church for about 6 hours every Sunday. John also went to church on Wednesday nights for about 3 to 5 hours, depending on what was happening. He would often come into school on Thursday morning. He'd be just dead tired. And he'd have a note from his dad saying, John didn't do his homework last night because he was doing the Lord's work, which didn't help his grades at all. I just want you to know. I'm saying these things descriptively so I don't call out a church name. I don't want you to think that way. I'm saying to you, in 1971, there were people running around. By the way, he brought me a comic book that showed me all about how the world was going to end, and that it said bad things about the Pope and some other folks, called them straight out, told us, you know, the Russian bear was what's in Revelation, and you should know these things. The world did not end in 1971. Is anyone surprised? Good, that's good, okay. But then I watched TV, and there was this guy on TV that was selling a book, Late Great Planet Earth. And the world was coming to an end in 1985. Didn't come to an end in 1985. He revised that book. It's called Late Great Planet Earth 2000. Do I have to tell you what did and didn't happen? My point is this. The temple was destroyed. What Jesus Christ said is true. Titus Andronicus came in and destroyed all of Jerusalem in the name of Rome. He walked into the Holy of Holies. There was nothing there. He didn't believe his predecessor from about 120 years before, Pompey, who walked into the Holy of Holies and said, these people have no idols. What are they worshiping, for goodness sake? And of course, the high priest, you know, almost had a heart attack. They had to reconsecrate the whole of the temple for this. They destroyed it to the point that no stone stood on itself. And many of them were taken elsewhere. But our faith endures. They can do what they want to you. Every child, here I am. If there is a person who is underage, let's say under the age of 20, I'm going to apologize to you in advance. It sounded like I just told a horror story, right? But here's what will happen. In the day, in your need, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will give you what you need to say. It'll be the exact right words. It'll be the exact right number of words. It won't be as long as this message. But what it will be is exactly what the leader that you are talking to has to hear. If you endure, you will gain your life. Amen.